Very well, gentlemen. It's a beautiful sunny morning in Philadelphia. Not for the Flyers, it's not, but I was part of it last night, so I saw Steven Stamkos' 1,000th point, which was pretty special. Saw how well Nick Paul was playing, which was pretty good as well. He got a couple goals, but just a reminder, and I thought this before the season started because it's a team that I picked to contend. Tampa Bay's not done yet, guys, and they're still a pretty good hockey club, without a question.
How well is Nick Paul playing? He's got 11 goals and 18 points now.
Really well. Killing penalties is a force, like a force. And it always, you know, it always, we're watching this player develop in Ottawa. And I think it's in pretty much agreement that that trip to the World Championships, when he and Connor Brown went over and excelled over there, really accelerated his game to a different level. And people waited a long time for Nick Paul, Ottawa included. But he's in a perfect situation down there. And then with Anthony Cirelli hurt, his role is elevated. So I think when Cirelli comes back, you know, there's a little bit more of a shared responsibility. But, you know, the pieces for them are still there. The main pieces, when you watch Vasilevsky and Netton, and I was actually there as part of an 80s night for the Flyers. And so I was with some different guys who, you know, scout for different teams. And I, it was an interesting night because I've been working on something over the last week or so where I'm talking to scouts from different teams about who they think the best young team is in the NHL. Who's coming next? Like, who's going to be the next guy? And some of it centered around Tampa Bay last night and whether they were done or not. But you know, the way he's playing and the role he fits, they talked a lot about roles, the guys did. And I love talking to scouts, guys, when they've got no investment in the game. When they don't have a team there, they'll be so objective. And they're so objective about other teams. Now, they're not always as objective about their own team because that's human nature. But some of them are. And they have a weird role. They go and they watch a hockey game, and they don't have any skin in the game. They don't, you know, it doesn't matter to them who wins and loses. Many of them will not know the score when they're watching the game, and they won't know some of the general play. They'll be watching specifically, you know, number 8 on the blue team or whatever it may be. But it's an interesting perspective on a broad nature because they're challenged with the same things that management is, but it's from a very different perspective.
All right, you've piqued our curiosity now as you're doing this survey
best young team around the NHL.
This is for a column in your column in the Star.
It's not for my column this week. No,
okay.
My column this week is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be based on heroes that turn into your peers that turn into your heroes again, and you know it's sort of based on Sittler and Salming for me,
right?
Two guys I watched growing up. And so, but then you get to play with them and they're your peers and you're with them. And then, you know, as you know, you get to the next stage of life, they become your heroes again. So that's what I'm working on. But the other one I'm working on for two reasons, guys. I'm working on for my own interest in the teams that I cover principally. And two of those seen as rising teams in Ottawa and Montreal, and teams that I've seen this year, Jersey and Detroit and Buffalo. And so there is a lot of really popular sentiment for Ottawa, guys. And it's very interesting because one veteran scout, and he said to me, you know what Ottawa has? They have players that are going to win in the playoffs. And he said, I know they're worried about getting to the playoffs, but they're players. And the first name he mentioned was Josh Norris, which I thought was interesting. He said, they got some guys. He said, you'd not want to see Brady Tkachuk in a playoff series. You'd not want to see those guys in playoff series. And we talked about the D, and we talked about the, you know, the acknowledged weakness in the D. They love Jake Sanderson and Shane Pinto, by the way. And that's not, I mean, that's not a revelation for any part. But when you're talking, it's so hard when you're in the market and watching and you're not getting the results you want. And you almost need affirmation that you're doing the right things. And so, you know, I don't work for the organizations and I work for a neutral party, but I see them a lot. And so it was pretty interesting on the, particularly the forward group that's been put together in Ottawa. And then I get asked the question, well, you see them play more than we do. What's going wrong? and I say, well, I'm not that smart. If I were that smart, I'd be scouting.
And to that, Pooley, how much does Ottawa miss Paul and Brown?
Quite a bit right now, you know, but that's, as you go through transition, Simmer, you have to make a decision on a certain age and a certain type of player and who the next player is going to be in that role and if they're going to be better and what the price point is. So that's the decision that was made with those guys, right? You're going with, you're giving Timmy Stützle an expanded role at a younger age. And how is that going to benefit him? Because really what you're building for, if you were building for wins this year and everything revolved around this year, this team would look a little bit different. And you know, they went with the youth group that they thought had the most upside. And I think that's the right move, but it doesn't give you the results you want on the curve you want.
Well,
go ahead.
But, well, it doesn't really, though, because you're now replacing them with Mott and Joseph. And I would ask you for the next 4 years, because I don't believe I know Nick Paul wasn't asking for a 7-year deal.
Right.
Quite simply, is it been a mistake cashing out Paul for, especially after everything he went through and the leadership that he brought? And let's be honest, Joseph has not been very good.
Yeah, the Nick Paul one's a little bit different for me. And, you know, and I think that deal should have been done at the price point it was at. Because I think we all, you know, if we were getting the correct information, it was a very cap-friendly deal at the time. And yet Nick Paul, boy, he has just continued to emerge, guys, you know, and he's a little bit older, but boy, oh boy, that curve keeps getting better. That'd be one I would like to revisit.
Yeah.
If I were in the group, I would, for sure.
Good or bad that Ottawa gets another game against the Rangers after being beaten? I mean, you know, Wednesday's game was a pretty, I don't know how to describe it. It was kind of just a ho-hum game. It wasn't terrible. It certainly wasn't great. It was kind of ho-hum. So good that they're playing them again, or would you like to, if you're Ottawa, see some new faces tonight?
No, I'd like to see them again. You know, we looked at the way this schedule broke out, and those two against the Rangers, that they're the first piece of the schedule. It's a little home and home, you know, a little, this is going to be what playoff hockey looks like. You're going to see a team a couple times in a row, and you're going to see them in your building and our building, and you're going to go back and forth. And by the way, you should be really annoyed after that game, because the goals, you look at the goals and each individual play, it's a play in front of the net. I mean, Gaudreau beats Brännström on that one. Physically, he's bigger. He gets right over the top of him. He deflects the puck in the net. Communication issue between Stützle, which Stützle made it clear to everybody that it was a communication issue, including, you know, Artem Zub. And by the way, if I'm Artem Zub or I'm another veteran on that team, I'm grabbing Timmy Stützle and I'm saying that's not the way you talk about a goal. You're simply not. And, you know, he's showing his frustration. And yet there was clearly a communication breakdown. I thought Zub was getting the flare-out guy, and I thought the guy that scored, Kreider, was Stützle's guy. You know, that's the way it broke down for me. And so, but you're taking a young player and you're saying, look, we want you to be upset when you get scored on. We don't want you to show up a teammate ever.
When I see that, Pooley, and you hear people talk about it and not get it, I just say, hey, if you don't get it, you don't get it. Like, if you don't understand right there, that's not frustration. That's making somebody else look really bad. And I love the fact that you kind of broke down the play. To that, from the perspective of, I guess this is from a coaching staff, this is when you expect a pushback, right? Because I do understand after the road trip, and it is a bit of a letdown Wednesday night against the Rangers. But, as you said, got an opportunity to regroup. And as you start a real busy stretch here, as I said, 12 games in the next 21 days, I would expect this is where the staff really wants to see a good result.
No question. And that's why it's nice to play the Rangers again. I mean, you should be really annoyed at the way they beat you. And you know, there's a lot of teams right now that, you know, I know when you're in a market, you think you're the only one that can't find the magic formula. There's a lot of teams that can't find it right now. You know, we're watching around the league. I mean, there's teams that are struggling mightily. Calgary's one of them. And it doesn't help when you look around and see other teams that, you know, that we're supposed to do better that are struggling. It doesn't help at all, but there is, it's a hard process right now for a lot of teams.
You mentioned Calgary. They lost 2-1 to Montreal last night. Jake Allen was outstanding in that game. And Sean Monahan assisted on both the Montreal goals in his first game back in Calgary. And I know the insiders were suggesting, or at least talking about the fact that maybe Monahan maybe have a longer-term future in Montreal. Given kind of where they're at in their competitive cycle, I know you do a lot of Montreal games. Would you think that's the right avenue to go down, or should they still be trying to get a little bit younger?
You know, I'm really happy the insiders agree with me, because I said this before the season started, that Monahan was going to have a good year, because everybody I talked to talked about his health in Calgary, and particularly with the hip thing, guys, and not feeling the freedom in skating. I'm looking at, he's only 3-4 years removed from 82 points. This is a really good player. And coming into the year, he was 27 years old. He's since turned 28. And so if I'm evaluating that grouping of players for me, you know, with years left on their contract, and Josh Anderson's in the group, Yoel Armia is in the group, Kristen Dvorak could be in that group. I'm saying, okay, where do you put Monahan up against those guys? And of that group, I really like Sean Monahan. I like his versatility. I like his strength on faceoffs. I like his even keelness. He's got a personality that doesn't overly emote, but I say that in a good way with young guys. And so I brought that to the table before the year started, before I saw a single game. I said, this is going to be a player to watch because of the price they got him at, which is, by the way, not only free, but you got a first rounder to take his money. And it's a conditional first rounder, but they're getting the pick. It just depends on what Florida does, I think, and, you know, where Calgary ends up and a bunch of different factors, but they're getting the pick. And now you get a player, and that's an excellent job. That's one of the best jobs of taking a contract that we've seen in terms of the way it's worked out. Now, there was a health factor involved, and you didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, but he is healthy and skating again. And you know, and even to hear Daryl Sutter talk about him yesterday going back into Calgary, he knows he misses him in the locker room, and he knows he didn't have him at full strength, but he had him. So I think it's going to be a really interesting decision. I don't think that 28 is out of the realm of what Montreal's doing. And, you know, and his mileage has been a little lower the last couple of years because of injury, but now he's back and he's healthy. So, I mean, Suzuki's 23 and, you know, you've got some other guys in that range. I don't think 28's unreasonable at all, JR.
And to that, Pooley, he has not been a good playoff performer. In some ways, is he almost a better fit for a rebuild than necessarily a contending team?
It could be. You know, and people will look at that, and, you know, because Calgary hasn't had huge success in the playoffs, and they'll say, okay, what, you know, what was the factor? You know, how does Gaudreau tie into that? How do those other guys tie into it? Was it just Monahan? And, but, you know, as you build, having those key guys in the lineup is, it's a significant factor, and they're going to have an interesting decision to make. He's put himself, as you always like, the player has put himself in a strong position, and that's what you hope for.
In any way whatsoever, did you see Jason Robertson doing what he's doing so far, which is leading the NHL in goals at 22, especially coming off when he wasn't even at almost all, the entire training camp because he didn't have a contract with Dallas at that point. And I guess in addition to that, is he going to be able, not necessarily at the same pace, but is he going to be able to potentially win the Rocket Richard Trophy?
He absolutely is going to be a contender for it. And I just... You know, I talk about seats a lot on a hockey club, and he's in a great seat right now. And, you know, he's, I didn't know as much about him. You know, you followed him and you saw him and you said, okay, there's some talent here. And he got 17 the 1 year. And then the explosion last year, he took advantage of the fact that Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin had terrible years last year. And so, you know, all of a sudden he comes out of absolutely nowhere. He's given the opportunity. He's playing with some good players. And you say, well, where did this kid come from? And, you know, how did he get 41? And is it real? And, you know, by the length of his holdout, they were asking themselves the same question, guys. They were saying, you know, is this real? Is this going to continue? What's going to happen? And, you know, he took advantage last year. Now Ben has come back and is having a good year and, you know, and back to where he looked like Jamie Benn of old, and that's only helped Jason Robertson because now you got another guy to worry about up front. But there's some good players there that you don't know a lot about. Rupe Hintz is a guy you don't know a lot about. Pavelski, we do know a lot about. He's playing with good guys. He's in a perfect situation. Everything I see is real. You know, and you look with surprise, like each night, you're like, oh, he's got a goal. And then you're like, oh, he's got two goals. He's still going. He's still ticking. So, you know, Dallas is, they're a good hockey club, guys, and they're the beneficiary, too, of going from good coach to good coach. And we've talked about that, the layers of coaching. We've talked about it in Boston. We've talked about it in Vegas. When a young player in particular gets a couple of good coaches and different assistants in a row, he can benefit as an individual. It looks like, for all the reasons, Jason Robertson's benefiting from that.
Pretty cool how DeBoer to Bonus, almost Montgomery to Cassidy, how that's all worked out. And also,
all the way around.
Yeah,
it's worked out all the way around.
It really has. All good coaches, and yeah, sometimes a change. Back to the market you're in right now, Pooley. Is there full recognition that this is a full rebuild in Philadelphia? And if not, or if so, and what's the mood in Philadelphia?
Well, I thought there was when I got tapped on the shoulder to take a face-off in a third period swimmer. I didn't think I was having that good a night, but they wanted me to go out and take a defensive zone face-off. I think there's a lot of questions being asked.
Yeah.
You know, there just are. And I think John Tortorella is actually trying to calm things a little bit and say this is going to take longer. Because when he was hired, everybody thought, okay, there's no way – Torts has taken the job unless they promised him they're going right now, because there's no way he would tolerate any sort of a rebuild or a retool or anything else. But I think he's realistic about what he's got on the ice, and you know, and the pieces he's got off, everybody can point to injuries, to key injuries. It doesn't look like Ryan Ellis is going to be a factor for, if at all. Couturier, same thing. And so you've lost some players, but everybody has injuries. They don't have a lot in the pipeline. They know that. And I think the realization is coming to bear. And the other factor, guys, the other teams in town, the Phillies and the Eagles specifically, the Phillies had a great year and the Eagles are winning. So it magnifies because all the stadiums are right in the same area. So you can see the competition that goes on right within your own town. And you know, the Philly fans, they're a little bit at a crossroads right now as an organization between, you know, and I actually spoke to some of them in the office yesterday about the challenge they have of what's behind them and what's ahead. And, you know, they've got to look and see, you know, where this is going in the future. And we all knew it was going to change when Mr. Snyder passed away. We just did. You had one owner of the team for 47, 46 years. And he was the franchise. He was the identity. He was the face. He made it go. Now he came and went in his own personal life and the team reflected it, but that identity that they built was so unique, and they've got to figure out how to use it.
We have been and are still living through a rebuild here in Ottawa that is now into its sixth season. It's long and it's hard. I think it's maybe a little bit easier in a hockey market to kind of sell it as long as it's done properly and executed and you do emerge from the other side. Philadelphia is a different market. You just pointed out the other, you know, a couple of other professional teams there are really good. Would Philadelphia tolerate a complete rebuild on the hockey side?
I believe they would. I believe it's from the way you package it, and you might look no further than just up the road with the New York Rangers. When Jeff Gorton, you know, in his John Davidson sent that letter out, and that was only 2018, guys, and said, this is what's happening, and talk about a market with low tolerance for anything in New York. But you've got to avoid apathy. You have to keep the interest level. So I think if it handled in the right manner, I absolutely think they could handle it.
And to that, Pooley, in today's sports world, whether it's painful or not, do you really have any other choice? Like, you know, if you want to build a good hockey team, there is no such thing as going out and signing a bunch of free agents and buying it anymore.
There isn't. And you can't go the veteran mode, the total veteran mode, because of the cost factor in that. And you got to see, you know, I mean, where the franchise is going. I don't think you've got to have some star power. And, you know, when you ask me about who the favorites are in the NHL, the one hesitancy I have with Carolina, guys, is who's the superstar. And if you look back, I guess you could say St. Louis is the one team that won a cup without true superstars. But you know, they had really good players, but they didn't have that superstar. Everybody else has had superstars in recent years, and you've got to, where are you going to get the superstars? You're not finding those guys in deals. You're getting those guys in the draft.
Well, the good news for Philadelphia is if they continue to play as poorly as they are right now, they're going to get a really good pick, in what's said to be a really, high end draft at the top end of it. So we'll see, perhaps as soon as this season, that superstar that you talk about. All right, good stuff. Glad to hear the voice is a little bit better after a full weekend of recovery. We'll expect you in full voice again on Monday. Appreciate the time as always, and enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Thanks.